The apostles in today's gospel scene are very much troubled and saddened because their divine friend, with whom they have been for the last 3 years, has announced that he must depart. Perhaps the thought ran through their minds, well, why can't the Holy Ghost, of whom our Lord speaks, come before he leaves us? Why must you, Lord, leave before he can come? And the answer to those questions is this. It is because the work of redemption was not yet accomplished. It was necessary first that Jesus should redeem man by his death, and then that the Holy Ghost descend and apply all of the fruits of the redemption to souls. And so what caused the apostles' sadness on this occasion was in reality a very great blessing in disguise, for the departure of Christ brought to them, and to all mankind for that matter, the Holy Ghost, and with the Holy Ghost, the grace of sanctification. Now, in our short-sightedness, and we are often short-sighted, we often regard something as an evil, and so we lament. We grow sad and impatient with any given situation that we regard as evil. But this imaginary evil brings us many benefits and blessings, if only we wait it out. So, for example, all throughout the history of the church, heresies have arisen. Persecutions have been waged against Holy Mother Church. These are great evils. But heresy gave to the church the opportunity to clarify, to make more clear, all that she had taught from the time of Christ. If St. Ignatius had not been shot by a cannonball in battle and broken his leg, he never would have become the saint that he is now. For when he was laid up in bed, he was given the books on the lives of the saints, and then he converted. And from a great general, he became one of the greatest saints. And how many times you've read, if you're a reader, that near-death experience always changes a man for the better. These are things that we regard as evil, but in fact are blessings in disguise, and therefore we must, it is our duty, place all of our hope and all of our confidence in the Lord and expect from Him all that is needed here in time and there in eternity. Now, hope is the virtue by which we confidently expect something. Oftentimes we downplay this word hope. We say, well, I hope to be able to go today. And that often means that we'd like to, but we sort of doubt. But the virtue of hope excludes that. It is a firm confidence based on unchangeable realities. So in this regard to salvation, we confidently expect to receive from our Lord the forgiveness of our sins, all of the graces necessary for salvation, and for salvation itself. Not because of anything that we do, but we base our confidence on the fact that God is infinitely good, infinitely merciful, and that He has promised to give us these things if we do our part. And He is faithful to all of His promises. So Christian hope is unwavering. It excludes doubt. In that sense, that if we do our part, God will always, always do His. And so unless a man has hope of attaining any goal in this life or for the next, he will accomplish nothing, absolutely nothing, but he will fall from a state of sadness to one of inactivity, and then finally and ultimately despair. But the man who cultivates the virtue of hope always recalls to his mind St. Gabriel's words to Our Lady, "Nothing shall be impossible with God." He did not say some things. He said nothing is impossible with God. For the man with hope, all the setbacks that occur in this life become not so many things to push us down and hold us on the ground, but they become so many challenges, and life becomes truly then an adventure. One moral theologian said that the virtue of hope helps us to see and to act as if life were one big adventure. That is the virtue of hope. Now, the effects of Christian hope are these. First, the man who has the virtue of hope is easily strengthened in times of temptation. For we know by experience that life on earth is a warfare. It's a continuous battle. We are obliged to fight both enemies from within, namely the flesh, and from without, namely the world, and the devils. And this is a constant battle against them. These enemies need absolutely no rest, and they take no rest. And they aim at nothing less than our eternal damnation. But yet we see that while we're obliged to wage battle against these things, we see on the flip side of the coin, our own weakness, that we are truly as a reed that is blown about in the wind, is shaken, is easily destroyed in a storm. Of our own strength, we are unable to resist all of these attacks. St. Thomas Aquinas says that without the grace of God, man is not able to remain long in the state of sanctifying grace. He will commit a mortal sin without the grace of God. And so, in the face of so many dangers and such weakness in our part, it is only the virtue of hope that can keep us courageous despite all of that. By the virtue of hope, we become like a ship in the storm. The ship is thrown about. It goes along wherever the waves take it in a storm, even if it be to the bottom of the sea. Yet, the ship has an anchor. And in that storm, if the captain lets go the anchor, the ship may still be tossed back and forth, but it will go nowhere. It will not be taken away with the waves because it is anchored. It has a foundation. And so it is with us. Without God, without hope in Almighty God, we will go to and fro and go with the waves of the world, ultimately to the loss of our soul. But when we anchor ourselves with a Christian hope in the promises of our Lord to help us, then we go nowhere. We are solid as a pillar in the midst of a windstorm. St. Paul says, "I can do all things in Him who strengtheneth me." And so, with hope in Christ, we are able again to feel courageous and to fight with perseverance for the salvation of our soul. Should that fight last but a day, but a month, or for 100 years, hope gives us the courage and perseverance to fight for salvation. Secondly, the virtue of hope nourishes us with the heavenly spirit. Let me explain this. Faith teaches that earth is our temporal home. It will end. And we will leave this place of earth. And that we are here only preparing ourselves for a better life. That is what faith teaches us. But hope continually points to this destiny and gives the courage to disregard all earthly things and to long after eternal things. That is what the virtue of hope does. I must note here that we are not expected to give up our temporal vocation. We should live according to our state in life. We still must fulfill our duties and secure for ourselves all of the necessities of life. And even it is good to have some of the things that just make life a little bit more easy. Those things are all just fine. We are not commanded to give them up. But we must use them not as an end in themselves, but as a means to secure our eternal salvation. If anything or anyone becomes an obstacle to your salvation, it does not belong in your life. You must chuck it out in the garbage. There it goes to stay. Because our destiny, our goal, is to live forever in a better world, that of paradise. We must not have any inordinate attachments to the things of this world. St. Paul says, "The time is short. It remaineth that they also who have wives be as if they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that cry, or rather buy, as though they possessed not, and they that use the world as if they used it not, for the fashion of the world passeth away." People who have no hope for eternal things seek for worldly pleasures. And why is that? It is because they do not expect anything better in the next life. So they seek for all of the riches and all of the material possessions that they can get in this life because they have not the virtue of hope. But the man with hope and with faith knows that there are much better things waiting for us, not here, but in the next life. Things that we will possess there and we'll have no need for anything else. And so, that hope causes the Christian to give up so many things in this world that stand in the way of salvation. Thirdly, the virtue of hope enlivens us, in us, a zeal for virtue. Hope, you might say, is our greatest motivating factor, or power, rather. The virtue of hope urges us to keep moving forward. It impels us to labor for our salvation and to dread no exertion. We use up all of our energy if we must. In sacred scripture, a good example of how hope causes us to a great zeal for virtue. Jacob, in the Old Testament, served Laban for 14 long years because at the end there was his goal, Rachel, the woman that he, Jacob, wished to marry. At the end of those 14 years of labor, he was able to attain his prize. St. Paul endured so much persecution in the preaching of the gospel, shipwreck 3 times. He was scourged a number of times, even stoned and snake bitten and everything else. Yet it was hope for an eternal reward that made him ready to endure. Or St. Francis Xavier, the great missionary to China, he said once, and these are the words he used to encourage himself to keep moving forward. He said, "Sweat for your Lord. He will hereafter wipe your brow and not deprive you of the eternal reward." Or we look at Holy Job in the Old Testament and what he said to encourage himself. "I know," he said, "that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall rise out of the earth, and I shall be clothed again with my skin, and in my flesh I shall see God." So, finally, the virtue of hope. It is what motivates us. It is what motivates us to mount every single obstacle that is thrown at us by the world, the flesh, or the devil, to mount it with great confidence. Not confidence in ourselves, because our strength is only weakness. But when we ground our hope and our confidence in the goodness and mercy of God and in His promises, then we will be able to conquer anything, to do anything in the service of God, to become the greatest saints that there have ever been. The firmer your hope in the promises of our Lord, the more you will do, and the greater will be your holiness and the higher your place in heaven. We must never forget this. Our hope does not rest on changeable things, but on the eternal promises and goodness and mercy of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.